This week on The Vergecast, Alex Heath and Alex Kranz join the show. We talk about Facebook's new name, what is going on with Trump's social network, the Apple event with new MacBook Pros, I'm very excited about those, the Pixel event, and a little bit more, all on The Vergecast coming up now.
Support for the podcast comes from Canva. Presenting to a group of your colleagues can be nerve-wracking, so why not ease some of that anxiety with Canva? Thanks to their AI, you can start with a simple prompt and watch Canva go to work. Choose your favorite style, customize the content, and that's it. You're done. It's a serious time saver. Whatever you do for work, Canva presentations can give you a head start on your deck. You generate sales presentations, marketing decks, HR onboarding plans, you name it. Finish your deck faster. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Hello and welcome to the Vergecast, the flagship podcast of Alex Heath's typing noises.
I'm so sorry.
We're here. We're all together in person.
It's weird.
I'm Neil. I'm your friend. Dieter Bohn is here.
I am. I don't know what I am. I'm here.
You're here.
In person.
It's a huge victory.
That's true.
I'll tell you why in a second. Alex Heath is here.
In the metaverse.
No, you're here in person. Alex Kranz is here.
I'm also here in real life.
Isn't real life the metaverse, though, if you think about it?
I need this to stop. Man. I want to tell the audience this piece of information, which is very important. As you can tell by the delighted giggles that we have already started the show with, this is the first Vergecast in almost 2 years,
yeah,
maybe more, in which we have all been together in the same room. We don't know how to do it. We're going to talk over each other.
We're very giddy.
Andrew, our producer, just reminded us that he can't fix it when we talk over each other.
Oh, no.
Because all of our microphones are in the same room at the same time. We're going to get through it, but we're very excited. We're all together because the Verge's 10-year birthday party is coming up. By the time you're listening to this, we will be at our venue. You will have just minutes to buy a ticket and show up. We hope you do.
Hurry, do it.
I'm not even going to tell you the link. It's too late.
Just come.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Come to New York City from wherever you are.
Yeah.
And be like, where's the Verge? And all of New York will be like, Spring Studios.
They all know where it is. All the cab drivers are like, oh, yeah, Spring Studio, The Verge. Town.
They're shutting down Broadway for
yeah.
the Yeah. It's going to be great. But we're all together. The Verge is turning 10. That's very exciting. And honestly, this is where I would normally just sort of like look at Zoom and let the delay take us into the next
but no.
piece. But now I'm just like looking at a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right. There's actually quite a bit to talk about this week. We got to start with Heath.
Alex Heath.
Alex has been doing nonstop media hits for publishing a story that I will tell everyone we did not think was a big deal. Alex broke the news, the scoop, that Facebook is strongly considering rebranding its company.
Not just consider, I mean, name TBD, but it's happening.
Okay.
I'm willing to say that.
I'm trying to hedge for you, but we feel pretty good about it. We don't know the name. Alex, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, Facebook, the company. So not Facebook, the app. And I think that's been lost in translation based on some of the news hits I've been doing. The Facebook company, which owns WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, Oculus, is going to change its name for the first time in 17 years since it started in a humble Harvard dorm room. And
as a hot or not clone.
Yes. And it's happening next week.
No, you're putting the stake in the ground. It's happening next week.
Yeah. The thing is with Facebook, since Mark controls it unilaterally, you know, he could always change his mind. And actually, as our friend Casey Newton followed up the other day, or what is that, the day's blur yesterday, he hasn't decided. So there's a short list, and, you know, maybe by the time this comes out, he will have decided. But the guessing game lives on.
So I'm going to do a little media inside baseball here.
Yeah.
So Alex calls me. He's like, he's got this story. Like, do you feel, like, we just like do the basics. Do we feel good about it? Yeah, we think we got it. Da da da. We don't have the name, so both of us are like, is it a story?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have the name. Like, they're thinking about it. Alex is as confident then as he is now. And we're like, let's do it. We got it. We're gonna put it. This thing is like a media phenomenon.
Oh my God.
Not having the name for some reason has made it a hilarious. Bigger story than having the name.
We could not have predicted that. I mean, it's been great. Colbert had some great names. Just been on Trevor Noah. Yeah.
The best name I've heard, BuzzFeed published a quiz. You know, what name do you want? Many hilarious names on that list. Many very dumb ones. The one that was, I think, overlooked the most was BuzzFeed 2. Which is just like,
nothing to stop them.
What a spectacular, like, yeah, it was just very good for BuzzFeed to be like, Facebook should name itself BuzzFeed 2.
The thing that I've learned about reporting on Facebook is people have strong feelings about Facebook. And they also have strong feelings about names. I should have figured that people would have strong feelings about this given the news that Facebook has found itself in recently. But no, I did not expect AOC to be quote tweeting Klobuchar, Blackburn. You know, when you get congressional consensus on something, it's always magical.
Yeah, and the consensus is that'll fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I should say the focus of the name change is to reflect Mark's vision for the metaverse, which he talked on this very show about with Casey Newton earlier this year.
Nothing about anything going on in the Facebook world.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated.
I mean, the Facebook world is like three apps that are in crisis and one hardware division that isn't.
And Mark Zuckerberg.
And Mark.
Yeah. And Hawaii Wavefoiling.
Being like, man, I wish I could spend more time in that hardware division that isn't in constant crisis, right?
Amen.
Right. She changed the name of the company to whatever, Zuckerberg Productions. And then Facebook, the app, is like, has its crisis. And Instagram has its teen crisis. Like, whatever. But Oculus doesn't say Facebook under it. Right, like that's like the rationale here, right?
partner is an employee of Facebook Reality Labs, which is Oculus now renamed. And I don't know, but Oculus may have Facebook under its name because you'll recall not very long ago, Facebook was like, hey, all the apps are by Facebook now.
Right.
On the splash screens.
Yeah.
So this years ago, was it years ago, 2 years ago?
It was 2019. Yeah. Is when they started putting the name under everything. Yeah.
If you will recall, under antitrust pressure at that time, Facebook was like, we're merging all the messaging services and we're putting Facebook under the apps. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to be encrypted and share a thing. Everyone thought this was a very clever plan to make the company too hard to split up, which is
it's got the same name.
Yeah. Very strange. And now we're at the point where you want parts of the company to be so split apart just in terms of brand recognition, that the problems of Facebook don't spill over to the thing. So I will ask you now, Alex, will it fix it? Yeah,
I'm staring off into the New York skyline. I'm going to say no. But I do think it's a moment where they're trying to say, look, like, yes, we invented social media and all of the ills that that entails, but we are going to be so much more for better or worse, you know? And like, it's kind of, we talked in the, like, there's Google and Alphabet and what we could talk about that if we want, but like, I do think this is a little different because it's not Mark hiding necessarily. It's kind of the opposite. He's actually saying, no, like, this is what I'm about. And like, he told Casey and he's told me and he's told others, like, I want to be known for this. I don't want to be known as like traditional social media, which is kind of wild concept, you know, for the guy who invented social media essentially. But that's how serious about this stuff he is. Which, you know, I don't even, but the problem is like, nobody even knows what the metaverse is. You know?
No one.
Like, that's all the questions I've been getting is like, you know, like cable broadcasts. Like, can you explain the metaverse? I'm like, well, it originated in the 90s and it's novel about a dystopia.
Have you read Neal Stephenson?
Yeah, you know, like it was people escaping from a dystopia to immerse themselves in a virtual world. You know, it's a little bit analogous to the current situation we find ourselves in.
Have you seen the movie Ready Player One? And you know how at the end of that movie, they win and then their solution is to turn it off?
Right.
That, but you don't turn it off.
Right.
Keep it on.
And also, yeah, it's owned by Mark Zuckerberg.
But like, maybe his ambition is to be known for the metaverse. Great. I buy it, right? Like every big tech company right now kind of wants to be
there,
focused on the next, not maybe not the metaverse. Like Apple's like, great, we did the iPhone. Tim Cook cares about health. Like, yeah. That's actually what Apple's about. That's what Apple's going to be known for, whether or not that is reflected in any of the products now. Right? They're like, we made a Peloton clone. This will be our greatest contribution to society. Facebook is all in on VR and the metaverse away from their like, they're all bored of their own products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Google's like AI, like all AI all the time. Here's a phone that we made. This phone is a small window into the future of AI. It's a strange moment where almost every company, right? Jack Dorsey's like, Bitcoin. That's what I do. And every company
What's Microsoft doing, though?
They got HoloLens.
It's the enterprise metaverse.
It's just weird. Like, if you just look at every company, they're all like, well, this got boring.
Yeah. I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah, fair.
It's gotten boring. Like, I get, like, we are in this kind of, like, weird, not inflection point. We're not to the inflection yet, but we're in this point right before it where you're like, okay, something's coming. It's coming. Mm-hmm. We don't know what. And it's really interesting that Facebook is like, yeah, it's on the horizon, right?
That's which is a name. It's a potential name. So they have this like Roblox meets Fortnite on Oculus thing that's been in private beta for way longer than they originally said. That's called Horizon. And they recently changed it to Horizon Worlds. Hasn't even come out yet. So like my thinking is that could be an umbrella term because they have Horizon Workrooms, which is the thing I tried that was really weird with Zuck in like a virtual conference room a couple months ago. And so Horizon's probably on the short list if I had to guess. Zuckerberg also owns Meta through his philanthropy arm. It wouldn't be the first time he's swapped assets that way with like his philanthropy arm. So it could be Meta. But the Meta ticker is owned, so that's, you know, they'd have to change the ticker, you know, the stock ticker, which is just like a fun little inside thing. But
I would just like all of these companies to just take a minute and go visit TCL or Sony or even Samsung and just be like, hey, you got bored with TVs. You needed to sell more of them. Tell me what your 3D TV experience was like. Were you able to create out of thin air a desire for a new thing based on a hazy idea? And just let them tell that story and then go back and decide how much they want to bet on Bitcoin or the metaverse or whatever else.
It's a real reinvent the wheel moment for a lot of them. They're just like, yeah, we figured this out. No, I mean, your
ego.
Well,
they're just like out of people.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, they're out of growth in the thing they're doing. So they got to find new growth. And like, they've all picked something. I will point out Alphabet actually did not change its stock ticker.
They added one, right? Didn't they add like a weird thing?
No, their stock ticker is still G-O-O-G-L.
Okay. I mean, FB's pretty good.
FB's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like a million ways to do it.
Yeah.
So Snapchat rebranded itself to Snap because now they're a camera company.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, they added no products.
Spectacles but was that year.
Still like
and a lot of people went to vending machines.
Sure. That's Snapchat's distraction. It's like, we continue to make these glasses with a camera in them. But they don't have an Instagram to snap.
Right.
Yeah.
Snapchat. Right. Alphabet did something much more dramatic where all these companies are like floating around inside of Google and they...
You mean Alphabet?
No, they were inside of Google. Okay. Like the driverless car program was like a bunch of weirdos dragging down the Google bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they reorganized the entire company into a company called Alphabet and gave them all subsidiaries and said, you have to be real companies now.
Yeah.
Except for you, Nest. No one knows what to do with you.
You sit right next to me.
Yeah, you wait right here. And it's like Waymo is like a real company now.
Right.
And the rest of them. I mean, the answer is the rest of them are like in
Calico
kinda,
Health.
Yeah. And also like, it did not take very long for Sundar Pichai to just become the CEO of Alphabet also. What have you accomplished?
Well, you got to hide Larry Page and Sergey Brin.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, these moves are somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this move is very much just, they're not going to make Instagram its own company.
Right.
They can't do it because then Amy Klobuchar shows up and be like, well, you've already done
half
the work,
Mark.
Splits
them apart with her comb.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to break up what? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be dramatic, but like, I think Mark's been, and like, I don't want to pat this show's back too much, but like, we actually, Casey's interview with Zuck did start the whole metaverse news cycle in July. Like, that was not a word in the corporate vernacular.
And now Enterprise Metaverse is a thing that I
Get now Nadella's about. Like Enterprise Metaverse.
Good job. Thank you.
They all need something. Okay. So there are many days upon which this could happen, right, in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. What are those days? What are we expecting?
Well, it's going to be an interesting week for Facebook. So Monday, Facebook let us all know on the Twitter that 30-ish news orgs are going to dump a bunch of internal documents that Francis Haugen, the whistleblower, had previously leaked to the Wall Street Journal. So that's happening Monday or next week-ish. And then earnings.
Hey, look over here. We're called Horizon now.
Yeah. Yeah. Earnings is the same day. Snap just reported earnings. They got hurt by Apple's ad tracking changes. Everyone expects Facebook to be hurt the most because they rely on that data the most. It's probably going to be a pretty nasty quarter for them. So that's Monday. All that's Monday. Earnings would be a good time to renounce a corporate rebrand that leaked prematurely. The plan was to talk about it Thursday at Oculus Connect, which is not even Oculus Connect anymore. It's just Connect. And it's basically Facebook's new conference. It used to be F8. And now this is the Zuckerberg show every year. And I think we'll still be there. But maybe they'll talk about it Monday or hint at it. But they've been denying it to everyone who's been asking that, you know, don't comment on rumors and speculation.
But just to underline it again, Alex Scott, he broke the news. And then Casey followed up and Platformer the next day saying more sources had told him. And this is the thing that made me laugh the most, that Zuckerberg wanted the name to be a surprise.
Aww.
And it still is.
It still is.
The name
but
itself.
He wanted it to be more surprising than what people were guessing, which I would just suggest is not a good thing to put on your list of reasons to rebrand your company. Like, did we surprise Katie Notopoulos at BuzzFeed enough? It's like not high on the list of reasons.
Well, the problem is
choose the name
everyone has guessed every possible name now. Like Colbert had some good ones. Pinsurrectionist.
That's good.
Best Fun Times America website.
Yeah.
Zuckerverse. The Washington Football Team.
That's, the Washington Football Team is my favorite by far.
I'm betting on Meta. I think it's like very obvious that they've got to pick something boring.
Yeah.
That signals what they want.
Meta seems obvious. I mean, there's
but Zuck's like not surprising enough.
Horizon just seems very like.
Verizon.
Horizon Company.
ZT&T.
Well, Horizon Company is the fictional tech company that Jessica Chastain works for in Scenes from a Marriage Story or whatever it's called, the new HBO show.
Oh, my God. Was it, like, leaked in advance?
Yeah. I don't know.
Playing the really long game.
It's wild. I'm getting daily emails from some random sports betting gambling website I've never heard of that is like people are betting, I guess this is real money. I don't know if it's crypto or Doge or what, but like people are betting on things. And right now the lead is the Facebook, followed by MetaNet, followed by Persystem. These are really bad.
Yeah, who is betting Colbert's on the Facebook?
Yeah.
Who?
People who just watch The Social Network for the first time.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that bet.
That's a bad bet.
There are some really bad names on the list that people are betting.
Really
these aren't, it's not actually a race. Like, there's not a chance that any of these will surprise win. Like, Zuckerberg isn't going to change it to the Facebook. I promise you that's not going to
stands out there and he's just like,
we did it.
T-H-E.
Remember when Apple dropped the computer? We're adding the. You know, no one saw this coming.
Oh, man.
What if it's just called the?
Duh.
That's on the list. I've seen that everywhere. Everyone has made the same joke on Twitter 5,000 times.
Okay.
So there, but you're saying it's going to happen maybe next week.
It could happen
week.
Earlier. I mean, the thing with Mark, like he does when I say he controls, I mean, he utilizes, like he can do whatever he wants. So like he could post it on his page right now. Like we could be recording and it could, yeah. But it's
that would be incredible. I'm changing happening. The name of The Verge right now.
Oh my God.
Okay. So that is that piece of news. I'd say we have, it's been 10 years. We've assumed a lot of things about how a lot of stories would go. I've never been so wrong about the impact once. We published at like 10 p.m.
We were like, should we just run it in the morning? I feel like no one's going to read this.
It's very strange.
And then like Casey's like, get on Twitter Spaces. And it's like 800 journalists like immediately.
That was very funny. So that's one story. The other story that broke late at night, which we need not spend as much time on, but which is very funny and also involves a social network, is at 9 p.m. last night.
As we're recording this on Thursday.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday. 9 p.m. on Wednesday, President Trump.
Former President Trump.
Donnie, as I call him.
Just the former is important to me.
I understand.
Okay.
Announced a new social network called Truth.
Truth Social.
Truth Social, on which Donald can post his truth. It is exactly as clever as that sounds. And it is going to be owned by a larger media company, TMTG. Mm-hmm. Which is way too close to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles every time I say it. And that company is going to go public via SPAC.
Right, via the Digital World Acquisition Company.
Which is very good. So we have a full explainer on this. I just want to point out one thing for the Vergecast audience. I've heard this man announce a website before.
Mm-hmm. The website went up.
True
Social went up and people were registering.
No, it didn't go up.
People found a
sign up link.
Yeah.
For the website.
Right.
Which is not public. And then they started registering account names, including Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
The person who had Mike Pence, I think his account was deactivated, which is very good. We found the terms of service. There's a pitch deck. This media company is going to compete with Netflix, with Disney Plus, with Amazon Web Services.
The TAM in this, the TAM slide is like all of tech.
Yeah.
It's like every fan
It's
company.
An uncancelable digital community, TAM. And it's literally a picture of the Earth and the moon. In case you were, like, they're very forward-looking.
Little tiny moon.
The EULA says that part of agreeing is that you can't criticize the service.
Yes.
It's open to everyone, except for people that don't like it.
But I think the terms of service also included something about how you can't use excessive caps, which is like, you know, someone put it in there so that we would dunk on it. Like that was intentional.
You're not allowed to use too many capital letters in your posts on True Social.
They know.
They're trying to keep share out.
True Social, you can go on the App Store right now and look at, you can pre-order on the App Store, mm-hmm. which is very funny. The screenshots that they've used are all fake posts from media brands that did not agree. In one of the posts, the @ChevyTrucks account announced a 2022 Tahoe EV.
Oh.
Like the diligent reporters we are, we asked Chevy. Chevy was not aware of this project and gently reminded us that there is no 2022 Tahoe EV. The most important clarification of all, they're like, we're not making this car. So it's like, just whatever, get it out there that there's no, we're not ready for yet.
Don't get people excited.
Yeah. The New York Times. Yeah. Obviously, early partner with Truth Social.
Yeah.
They told us that they would be sending a letter.
Incredible.
Look, it's fine. There's Rumble, there's Parler, there's Getter, there's Gat. There's these companies, the big tech companies, they all need competition. I'm happy for there to be more competition in the world. But I would just suggest that the SPAC, where they're going to go public, there's already a public company. The stock is already up. It's going to buy Trump's company in this sort of reverse public offering idea. Liz and Sean and Mitchell have a full explainer of how SPACs work and how this SPAC would work. A lot of this seems like a bunch of people are going to give money to a Trump company and the Trump company is not on the hook to ever ship an app.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker. Isn't this company based in like the Cayman Islands?
Yeah. There's a lot of sketch under all this. Maybe they'll launch. Maybe they won't. We'll see.
Maybe you don't put your money in that SPAC.
One of the things that deeply frustrated me throughout the entire Trump presidency was that he would say or do something.
Yeah.
And everyone would just fully believe that it was going to happen.
Right.
And we would operate in the frame of Trump is definitely going to sell TikTok to Oracle. And we'd be like, no, he's not.
But like, we have to act like he is.
We don't have to pretend that anything happened here. He did not tell Google that they were making this website. We don't have to buy it in this way. And I'm already seeing that glimmer of this, maybe a little more jaded, because we've all seen the competitors to Twitter come and go. We all know what he wants to. He needs a platform if he's going to run again. I understand it all. This is a hard product to make.
Couldn't he just like go buy Tumblr? Like it's out there.
No, Tumblr's owned by Automattic. They like it. They're happy.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like, it's like the future of WordPress.
There's like got to be a distressed social media.
Tumblr's already gone through enough.
I mean, never mind.
Okay.
I was going to make a live journal joke and it's too painful for me.
I mean, the man is a live journal. He's a walking, emotional. I will say there's one slide here where they're like, what if tech monopolies didn't rule the world? And they've chosen to illustrate it with the Twitter bird at the top sort of shining a rectangle of blue light on like the Apple, Google, Facebook logos.
It's a real strong grasp.
And it's like, why is Twitter at the top? Like that doesn't make – are you – in your – this is – like you just have to look at this pitch deck. It's very good. I love the idea that he's going to launch a Twitter clone and then compete with Disney Plus in the same minute. Like he's got the MCU unlocked. He's got like his own
– the multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiverse. I will say one more thing about this, and then we can move on.
Is it about AWS?
No, it's not about AWS. In the documents, in what we see, the argument is all media fragments on ideological lines, and all the tech companies are hopelessly liberal, so this is the time for a conservative network. On the next slide, it says a Big Ten approach, and then on, like, five slides after that, it's like, but it's also conservative media. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can do that. That's competent. Again, Trump, Josh Hawley, Ron DeSantis, like, there's all these proposals to reform 230. There's this crazy law in Florida. They're all based on the idea of the government mandating neutrality. So Josh Hawley, his proposal is like nuts, right? The FTC will create a new commission. They'll review everybody's moderation proposals and make sure they're neutral. DeSantis is like, unless you own a theme park, right, this is how you have to moderate your service. If you're doing that on one hand, and on the other hand, you're like, I'm making a conservative social network, the thing the government is doing is making your business illegal. And that is just like...
Do we think that's actually going to happen?
No, it's just, this is what I mean. Like, taking it seriously, you can take it seriously, but everything that they're doing on the other side of it is proposing things that would make an ideological split of social networks illegal. Have they thought that through? I don't think they've thought that
through. Is that really what this would mean, is that you couldn't have, like, a conservative social network?
How would you have a conservative? What would you do on a conservative social network? You would amplify conservative things.
Sure.
Well, that's inherently not neutral.
There is no such thing as neutrality.
Well, welcome to the Vergecast.
I'm glad. Like, this is why this is ridiculous. Like, if it's a liability thing, I understand that. If we're talking about, like, platforms need to be, like, their algorithms need to be liable for what they do, that makes perfect sense to me. But the idea of the government somehow mandating neutrality is, like, absurd.
But this is every 230 reform proposal.
Yeah, that's
I'm just
problem.
Saying, like, that seems incredibly unconstitutional.
Welcome to the Vergecast.
Also, what is neutrality is, like, a great Vergecast question. Yeah, we can do another hour on that. But, yeah, this is the dynamic of all of these is you do some thing because you're mad about 230 and you end up in a First Amendment problem, mm-hmm. which is why the Florida law with the theme park exception hit the courts and was immediately put on hold. And the judge was like,
have you heard of the First Amendment? It's the first one.
It's not a complicated idea. So I would just point out this, besides getting the lawyers from Chevy Trucks mad at them, besides the SPAC complications, which I'll just point you to our post because Liz and Sean do a better job at that than I ever will. And besides the inherent conflict between what they would like to change the law to be and the business case for the company, they're also not good at making websites. So just please hold that.
I mean, it's coming for AWS.
It's coming for
oh, God.
Disney Plus. I would like to see the Trump Avengers movie. Yeah. It would be pretty good. Okay, we're going to take a break. We got to talk about Apple had an event this week. There's a lot has happened this week. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Canva. They say Rome wasn't built in a day, but you know what you can get built in a day? Your creative deck. You can generate creative decks to use for all your important presentations with Canva. Thanks to their AI, you can start with a simple prompt and watch Canva go to work. You want a sales presentation for a tech company? Done. Create an employee onboarding plan? No problem. Just type it in and watch Canva work its magic. You'll have generated options in seconds. Choose your favorite style, customize the content, and you're done. It's a serious time saver at work. So whatever you do at your job, Canva presentations can give you a head start on your deck. You can generate sales presentations, marketing decks, HR onboarding plans, you name it. It's AI for every department. It's easy to learn. It's even easier to use. And because it's built in Canva presentations, you can stay focused on the task at hand with no app switching. Finish your deck faster. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
We're back. It was only Monday.
6 years ago.
When I declared victory. I'll tell you, we know, Dieter and I know with certainty.
What do we know? I don't know.
That many people at Apple read our live blog.
Oh, yes.
And listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And there was a sense of satisfaction that we felt. They're like, we did it. Are you going to shut up now?
Here's your ports. Leave us alone.
We were kind of like, no, we got to come up with more stuff. But we're happy to do it. Dieter, tell us about this Apple event.
So it came out, announced some new AirPods, like the mid-range AirPods in between the Pros and the regulars. They seem nice. I'm excited for them a little bit.
A little shorter, right?
Yeah, like the Pros, but they don't have the Pro ear things. They don't have ANC. They added MagSafe to AirPod cases, which, like, has that ever been a problem for you?
Once.
That you wanted a magnet to connect it to the wireless charger.
Oh. It already has Qi.
Yeah.
But now you can just, like, throw it on
it. Now it has MagSafe.
Is it the watch MagSafe or is it the big puck?
It's the puck. The watch isn't MagSafe. I don't think.
It's magnetic. That's not branded MagSafe?
I don't think so. Yeah, I could be wrong. Let me know. I'm sure you will. They also announced a thing like Apple Music Voice, which is deeply confusing. I think it's $4.99 a month, and you can it lets you ask for like a genre of music instead of like downloading specific songs that you want to listen to.
I have a question about it.
Okay.
Because I was editing a story about it, and I still didn't understand. Spoilers. How does it like? Can you use your phone?
Yeah, I think so.
No. When you open the music app on your phone,
yeah,
it just shows you your previous searches and suggestions for what you can ask for.
Yeah.
Okay. Who wants this?
So
that's my next question.
Dan's the one who figured this out. Like immediately, he clocked it. He's like, there's a special deal the labels will provide that has this kind of access that Amazon did for Alexa, and they just like gave it to Apple. Our assumption.
Well, so importantly, Spotify does not work on the HomePod Mini.
Right.
So Apple wants to sell lots of HomePod Minis. It is the tiny, colorful cornerstone of a smart home strategy for Apple. Fine. But you can't use Spotify on it.
Okay.
The two things people do with their smart speakers, they set timers in the kitchen, a challenge for Apple.
Yeah.
Just one of those mountains to climb. And they ask for music. So if you can't use Spotify on it, the barrier is you got to pay for a whole other music subscription and move over, or you pay a small amount of money and the HomePod can play some music at you.
Yep.
Huh. I feel like, and maybe this is just because I am all in on the Apple ecosystem for the home, that you should just pay for full Apple Music.
It is a weird product. I'm not going to lie.
Like, because then you can use your phone.
Yeah.
Which I do often.
But it's also like just Pandora has not closed down. You can
still there.
Just saying.
But anyway, Amazon has this deal. Apple, like, here's this thing. You don't have to pay $15 a month. You can pay $5.
All of this was a preamble to the new MacBook Pros.
Well, yeah, the HomePods.
Oh, the new colors of the HomePods. One of them is an orange. Apple made an orange. It's very funny.
I'm one of two people excited about that.
They still make HomePods?
HomePod Minis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just call them HomePods now because they, like,
buy they canceled the big one.
There are two types of Alexes.
Yeah. The more expensive Sonos without as many services, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
That well, one. And Siri.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
Yeah, it is cute. And it can be a HomeKit hub instead of me having a headless Apple TV in your attic.
I feel like
this is a thing that I do.
The real welcome to the Vergecast moment for Alex Heath here is you thought we were going to talk about the MacBook Pros. We got 40 minutes of thread border routers for you.
Oh, 15 minutes on the clock, right?
So the HomePod Mini supports this thing called Thread.
Actually, there's a big thread border router. There was big thread news today, but we're not going to get into it. We're going to talk about the MacBooks.
The cloth.
And the cloth. There's a $20 polish.
It's back ordered 3 months.
Oh, my God. 16-inch.
Yeah.
I'm going to get there, I swear to God. 14-inch. They added back the ports. There's 3 Thunderbolt ports. There's a MagSafe port, which is basically just USB-C power, but it has a magnetic charger on the end of it. There's an HDMI port. My friends, there's a headphone jack. There's an SD card slot. It's very exciting.
It's everything I've ever wanted from a computer
in
2015.
And the worst named processor.
Okay, so They needed to have an updated version of the M1 that you have in the Mac Mini, in the MacBook Air, in the base-level MacBook Pro, a computer which should no longer exist, but it still does. And we're all like, will they call it the M2? Will it be the M1X? What will it be? And they're like, haha, it's the M1 Pro. We're like, oh, cool. Okay, sure, M1 Pro. And that means that there's more cores and blah, 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 blah. And then there's also the M1 Max, which is
the best.
The one with even more cores.
Never been happier.
Not the Pro Max. Which is another thing. No, they put those words on the iPhone. But in this case, the Pro and the Max are distinct things.
We were very confidently told when we asked after the name that Apple believes people knows what the words Pro and Max mean. And we're like, no.
Oh, my God.
Have they ever tried to Google?
You've all been walking around this circle a little too much, my friend.
Like, Google Apple TV and tell me your results. And tell me if they actually were what you were searching for.
But we should get into the processors, but just to round out the rest of the laptop. ProMotion display, so it has a high refresh rate. There is a notch at the top of the display, which I'm sure we'll have many discussions about. Heath is shaking his head no.
Why?
Why
ban
not?
All notches.
You know what? We're not going to talk about the processors. We're not going to talk just about the display
hour.
And mini LED and all that stuff. We're not going to talk about it's a throwback to the original Tyvek design, and I love it. We're going to talk about the notch for the next 45 minutes. The notch is fine.
Wow. It's a stain. The notch is a stain.
They're giving you more screen, and you're saying no thank you.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Wait, did you say you liked the original titanium PowerBook?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was the best.
I think it was great.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a real status
Pismo.
Symbol when I was in.
The G3 Pismo.
The Pismo?
Oh, my God. The pinnacle
Look,
of laptops.
Here's the deal with the notch. There's already the vast.
Nothing will
with the
ever
interchangeable
compare.
Base.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the. Oh, my God. I'd be like, hold on, my zip drive? No. CD. Yeah.
I feel like Apple was like, they made it and they chased. I had one of those.
Yeah.
And they're like, making most of this laptop hollow? Is a little problematic.
If you're in your car and you're under 45 years old, I want you to pull over and Google Apple Pismo
G3.
G3.
So the keyboard deck was
great.
Hollow.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there. And
nothing.
That's where the batteries went.
Yeah.
But you could also just run one battery
and
also like a CD drive
or a zip drive.
And I'm just telling you.
I had one too. I loved it. Oh my god!
So off the rails.
And you could put you could switch out the processor. I maybe spray painted mine in a college dorm room.
This is also the era where you could unclip the keyboard and just remove the keyboard to put a Wi-Fi card in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just reminding you, Apple quickly realized that making a portable product that had not only moving but fully removable parts did not do a lot for durability.
I'll miss it forever.
This one
anyway,
is all
sorry.
Sealed up.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, the bottom comes off pretty easily, it looks like. And that's another thing that reminds me of the Tyvek. It has pentalobes, of course. But so the notch. Swear to God. So it's there. They should have given us Face ID, but they didn't. It's there because they have a couple extra sensors, and it's a 1080p camera, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they just gave you more screen, and they had to cut out a notch in the middle of it. The vast majority of people leave a menu bar at the top. The vast majority of apps, when they're open, don't put anything in the space where the notch is because, like, they don't have that many menu items. I get that you don't like the way it looks, but I see you holding an iPhone that has a notch on it now.
I hate it.
Do you even notice it anymore?
Yes. You get more
in
screen.
In what circumstances do you notice that notch? Except for now when you're angrily looking at it and angrily looking at me.
When widescreen, like when you flip things over and you're like, oh, there's
would you
that
rather,
ugly thing.
Would you rather it was just more bezel at the top?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you said
on
most
the Mac,
people.
You can have a utility that does that
I
for
do,
you.
Okay, I will say, I do think it's very funny that this was the year they made the iPhone 13 notch smaller.
Yeah.
It has a Face ID sensor in it, a very good camera.
Yeah.
And all the other sensors it needs, a speaker for your ears.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, here's a gigantic notch.
Yeah, yeah.
With no Face ID.
Uh-huh.
A 1080p camera. Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's just
it's
a
like
lot.
It's like a pixel. What was the pixel with the doofy notch? Was it the Pixel 4?
Oh, woof.
Giant notch on that thing.
No. Do the MacBook guys talk to the iPhone people? Like,
no, they're not. They are not allowed to talk to each other.
So that's why the notch is. They had no idea.
We are going to review the thing. We'll see the notch. We'll experience the notch. I understand the notch was controversial. I am sort of confident. Like, this is a computer that they're going to ship in dark mode. Yeah. They're going to hide that thing as much as they're already hiding it in the pictures. Whatever, it has a notch.
So we should talk about the processors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have added more fast cores. So I think they swapped out two of the like mid-range cores, added two more fast cores. So they have more power there. The GPU cores, they went with their own GPU. There was no weird shenanigans there. They are all in on their own GPU and their shared memory architecture stuff, which is very interesting. And honestly, like from pro to max, you're just like picking GPU cores. And like there's some CPU core stuff, but you're just like, how many GPU cores do I want?
Yes.
And number one, how do you know?
I have no idea.
Like how does we don't know what these core numbers mean yet. Because like the architecture is so new, there's no way to judge. You just are like, well, I'm going to throw some money at this and see what happens.
And boy, did I!
even in the discrete GPU space, they don't talk about the cores. They don't talk about that stuff a lot. Like for years, they kind of would discourage you if you even wanted to report on it. They'd be like, no, we don't.
The core numbers on like NVIDIA and AMD GPUs are like absurd. It's like 4,000 CUDA cores.
They're all like made up things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like the same here, but they want us to talk about it. But
well,
let's
be specific about the chips. Okay. So the regular M1,
right?
It's four efficiency cores.
Okay.
And then they're binning it in weird ways.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of high performance cores. The M1 Pro, up to a 10-core CPU with two efficiency cores and then some number.
So less efficiency
cores. Less efficiency cores. And then up to a 16-core GPU.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
The max, 10-core CPU, up to a 32-core GPU. So you really are just sort of like adding from M1 to M1 max. You're just like trading at the first level, trading efficiency cores for performance cores.
Right.
And then just stapling more GPUs onto the
thing. Give me some more GPU.
Yeah. And you can get the ultra maxed out processor on the 14-inch, not just the 16-inch.
That's great. Yeah.
And importantly, the max also supports more memory.
Yeah.
Unified memory up to 64 gigs and then twice the memory bandwidth.
Yep.
The bandwidth is incredible.
And so their demos are like, we're running 7-8K videos at once. And you're like,
yeah, me too.
I have a question.
Do I
have to spend $10,000 for more RAM?
No,
you can't get
6,000.
Yeah. You can't. The RAM is built right onto the chip. You're done.
You get what you get when you buy it. But it is, it's expensive. The whole thing is expensive. Actually, the price of this thing, what bothers me about this is if I get the MacBook Air, I get an amazing computer, 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
With no ports, two Thunderbolt ports, that's it. And then if I want ports, I have to buy everything else that comes along with the Pro.
Yeah.
If I just want an HDMI port, I have to get the notch and, the insanely powerful processor.
And
they're a little bit chunky, but I'm fine with that. The thing that's exciting about it being chunky, even with like the feet, is they might be adding battery, so that's exciting, but they also might just be adding thermal headroom, which is a very new thing for MacBooks.
Yeah. So they showed us some charts.
Oh, charts.
So last year at the M1, they showed us charts.
Yeah.
The charts had no labels in the axes.
Right.
And they were like, here's our power performance per watt curve. And like, here's someone else. The other one wasn't labeled at all. This year, to their credit, they added labels to the axes. They specified what computers they were comparing themselves to.
Finally.
Well done. This event moved so fast and the name of the computer was in the bottom right that we didn't quite realize it was happening until later, but they did it.
Yeah.
Okay. The x-axis, power. That's a unit. I get it. Watts.
Totally.
The y-axis was labeled relative performance.
Yeah.
And the M1 Mac topped out at 100. So just by sort of process of elimination here, you just like finish the equation. The unit is units of M1 performance.
Performance doing what, Neli?
No one knows. And then they're like, see, the other computers use a lot more power at the units of M1 performance. And you can see our new computer is like three times as fast because it's curving up and over 100 to 300.
It's a big
line. And we're
line.
Like, 300 watts. And they're like, we labeled the graphs for you. That's what you wanted. And I'm like, but.
And then they were like, metaverse.
So I get what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
In good faith, I understand what they're trying to say. No matter where you look on this graph, compared to Intel and AMD and NVIDIA, We're way down here. We're using way less power at the same amount of performance.
Yep.
Our relative performance is way better.
Units of M1 performance. And then, you know, their claim is that they are more, they're faster than a 3080 in an Intel laptop or whatever. We have yet to find out. There are some benchmarks hitting Geekbench and stuff that are like, but we'll see. We don't know the specs of those. But I'm just, next year, what I'm looking for is like a unit.
I think they do it specifically to irritate people like us so that we're all like, man, I bet it's not going to be that good. Because they would just tell us if it was that good. They would just show us real world benchmarks. And then we're going to go out and we're going to review it. And it'll be like the M1 last year where we were like, this is going to be stupid. There are no labels. We don't know what this is. It can't be that fast. And it was that fast.
It was fast and the battery life was long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It lived up to the vague promise.
I cannot recreate that graph. Right. I have no idea how to recreate that graph. And so when they're like, well, it was proven out. I'm like, I feel that. It was emotionally. The graph is emotionally true. But I actually do not know if the graph is true to this day.
And I think they do that on purpose, just to have us have these feelings right now. It's all about the feelings.
Well, that's why you're here for the Vergecast. What is a graph?
One last thing about performance. Apple says that it will perform the same whether you're on battery power or not. So unlike a lot of laptops, when you unplug, it doesn't immediately throttle everything down.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
We'll see. Yeah. They did a sizzle of developers. The M1's been out for a year. Lots of developers are... For example, the Chrome team has made an M1 version of Chrome. Mm-hmm. Very excited to run Google Meet in Chrome on this thing and see if the fan turns on or if the computer explodes, which is what my current laptop does. They showed a demo of Adobe Premiere.
Yeah. Ooh.
Which is like, whew.
Launching.
Yeah. This is so real. They're like, look at all these streams of 8K video and Final Cut. And then they're like, the Adobe Premiere product manager is here. And she was like, it loads so snappily.
Yeah.
And I hit cut. And I was like, you got 400 megabytes per second of memory bandwidth. Like, okay. But Adobe's on the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're very proud of this laptop. I am very excited about it. Well, there are questions to be answered. Battery life is one.
Yep.
Micro LED, mini LED screen. Mm-hmm. Mini LED screen, is it going to bloom the way the iPad does?
Yep.
Meh. Like,
We'll see.
The iPad isn't bad, but it does it.
Yeah.
How is it going to charge?
Sure.
Like, the charging situation of these computers, USB-C is a mess. And so from what we understand, the 14-inch in its stock configuration does not fast charge. You can pay $20 for a 96-watt power adapter that will fast charge the 14-inch.
So technically, the laptop fast charges. It's just the adapter that comes in the box does not provide enough power to fast charge it.
But why?
Because it's more expensive $20. To buy the good ones. They've got it's like a GAN charger now. Like they're like doing the stuff.
That's the cost of a whole cleaning cloth.
just throwing cleaning cloth
money
away.
Here's what I'll tell you. Having purchased a number of GAN 100-watt USB-C chargers, just buy Apple's. Like that $20 is so worth it.
Yeah.
Is your time worth $20? The answer is yes. Just take the upsell.
I am saying that Alex Heath has to review the cloth.
Oh, we're going to review the cloth.
Like,
I want to read it.
Yeah. Show Zuck the cloth in the metaverse. Like, can I NFT this?
I volunteer. I'm going to get it in like 6 months. It's off the coast of Long Beach.
Oh my God.
With everything else.
It's like container ships of cloth.
Luxurious white box.
Tim Cook
cloth.
Is in his supply chain meetings. Be like, get that boat in the dock. Send someone to China right now.
In 2 years, it's cloth is a Fortune 500 company.
Like services is out, cloth is in. Cloth subscriptions, part of Apple One now. We love it. We think you're going to be really delighted with this year's cloth. Okay. Then the 16-inch.
Yeah.
The 16-inch comes with a 140-watt USB-C adapter and the MagSafe cable.
Yep.
And the only way it will fast charge is if you use the MagSafe cable.
Correct.
Only way.
The other ones won't do it.
Okay.
They will support up to 100, but they won't support the new 240.
Also, here's my theory. USB-C is so confusing.
Yeah.
That Apple was like, we're just going to make a power connector. And you will know by looking at the end of the cable whether it supports fast charging.
That's such a weird idea.
And we will just not discuss the fact that this was our idea. They invented USB-C and it is now this crazy disaster. And they're going back to differentiating the ports and the way they look.
actually power cable's good.
I just, there's no other reason to have MagSafe on this thing, except for that you don't trip over your laptop. But it has been 5 years of people tripping over their laptops, so like, we're all in on it. But I think that, I swear to God, they added it, because the other end of the MagSafe cable is USB.
That's correct. Yep.
So I swear they added it back in, just so you would know, this cable will fast charge this machine.
Because the thing about USB PD, especially when you're getting into 100 watt and especially the new 240 watt standard, is the cable needs to support it, the cable itself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've looked at a drawer full of Apple cables, but they all look the same.
I've never been more embarrassed to work for like a tech news site than when I was trying to set up a dual monitor display set up with this laptop and figure out the cables and the ports. And I was like, should I, am I in the right industry? I don't understand any of this.
Like, they all look the same.
I mean, I'm imagining someone who doesn't work at a tech site trying to chain together two monitors.
It's not great, but that's my theory. We'll get them, we'll review them, we'll see. We're going to do the thing that we do and plug a bunch of stuff in.
Yeah.
And then disappointedly write down when it doesn't work.
What else from this event? They didn't really get into Monterey much at this event because, like, most of the good feature isn't launching with the OS, apparently, the continuity. But it's launching October 25th. I think Neil is really excited for Monterey.
It is one of the ugliest operating systems. You're offended by the notch. I'm offended by almost every visual decision in Monterey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you.
Just the thing where you click on the menu bar and it's the menu, the word looks like a button and the menu drops below it. Like, what are we doing here?
I'm avoiding it as long as possible.
I gotta say, when they did the Safari browser redesign and stuff, and then walked it back, and then this, and like they're not shipping. That's kind of Apple's. It's not how it used to be, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're still figuring out what they want it to look like.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it's shipping very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I skip every OS update at this point.
Yeah, you can't do it immediately because you'll just not have a working computer.
Unless, like me, you're like, I would really like these ports. Oh, and there's no touch bar.
Oh, God, we didn't even bring this up.
In the event, this event was the fastest event Apple has ever had. Like, even Tim Cook was at the end.
He's like breathless.
By the way, like in a field.
Just standing outside. Like
in the long grass, Tim Cook.
Someone tweeted the picture of him in the field. I was like, oh, that's where the AirPod was.
Perfect. But even at the end, he was like, he's got his drawl. But even he was just like, that was great. We love it. We've gotten out so many things. The HomePod is here. The iMac, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was like, wow, just like everybody take a beat.
Just take a breath.
But they raced through it all very fast. And the touch bar they raced through in like particular speed.
Yeah.
They're like, now we've got full height function keys that replace the touch bar. That's great. See, on to the next thing.
Full height.
Full height. They also claim that the keys feel like a mechanical keyboard, which is just like, I don't know, man.
We'll see.
A million nerds suddenly sat up in their chairs. Oh, really?
I was like, I don't.
I feel like you just got away from everyone hating you.
Which kind of switch, though? I mean, there's lots of different keyboard
feels. What dark energy are you summoning to this computer? Just don't say it.
Keep it to yourself, Apple.
This is like when Jobs announced OS 10. I remember this. When he first announced OS 10, he had like announced the kernel that he was using.
Yeah.
He was using the mock kernel. And he kept saying, it's very Linux-like. And it was like, you just think that the press is stupid and they know that keyword. And you're like, just glue that idea on. And it's like, none of this is the same.
Man.
Anyway, we're going to get the computers. We're going to test them out. I'm very excited. Apple. There was so much demand for this. Apple's website slowed down.
Mm. Yeah.
People are posting up their receipts for their new MacBook Pros. I'm confident that there was more interest in this than the iPhones this year.
100%.
People were more excited. They were more amped. They were happier about it. The iPhone is like, spending the money again. I hope I can see these camera improvements.
But the cloth. I mean,
that's what actually everybody called me about. Like, do you get that thing after an Apple event? And sometimes Google and Samsung too, mainly Apple. Family and friends will call you and be like, what should I get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They asked about the cloth. They didn't actually, though. Nobody asked about the cloth. But they were like, should I get 14 or 16?
And I was like, you were like, cloth.
Yeah. Actually, cloth. All in on the cloth.
1,000 cloths. Really cool.
one charger.
What did you tell them?
I guess 14 for me, just because I like smaller. I like I'd like to carry things and I have tiny, tiny shoulders. So it's helpful for me. But it seems, I mean, I haven't bought it yet. I'm going to wait because I bought the 2016.
Ship dates have already slipped.
Yeah. I'm going to wait until next generation because I bought the 2016 Touch Bar. I was ready because I've been on like the first, the 2012.
That was the scissor key.
Yeah. I did the Retina 2012. It was great, but it's bad. And it died. Then I did the 2016 Touch Bar and I was like, yeah, this is going to be it. I went through three of them in
a
year.
It's good to skip the first
yeah.
major.
And yeah. so I've even blogged like, don't buy the first generation. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, you have blogged this.
Yeah.
You have told yourself not to. So
yeah.
this time
I'm the one who's like, wait for the reviews. And I'm like, I'm the review. Oh, shit, I bought it.
That said, Jim Bankoff, if you would like to start issuing 16-inch MacBook Pros to employees of Vox Media, I'll gladly take the L.
You got to tell you're a video editor. Yeah. Like you're going to get that air unless you're like, I edit videos all day.
I'm in the metaverse.
All right, we're going to get him. I'm pumped to get him. If you have questions about it, let me know. We're going to figure it all out. We're going to take a break. We got to talk about these pixels. We're back. This week, a lot happened this week.
Yeah.
We're doing this in person, right?
Yeah.
Usually, I've got my little recorder with a clock that tells me how long we've been talking.
Yeah.
This could have been 6 hours.
No. We're
over?
We're a little over.
All right. Let's
keep going.
Let's keep going.
Okay.
How long have we been here? It's just so nice to see it.
The sun's slowly setting.
All right. So Google had already announced the Pixel.
They had announced it, and they put up ads for it, and they had commercials for it.
And then they had an event.
They launched it.
Yeah.
They actually launched it. You may have heard in this Vergecast feed that I interviewed Rick Osterloh and Sundar Pichai. If you haven't, it's in the feed. Just listen to it next or, you know, later.
Pause,
but I recommend.
Go back, listen.
Listen to that. We got the prices. They are lower than I think a lot of people were expecting, $599 and $899 for 128 gigs, which is like good value, I think. They claim to have done the thing they needed to do with the camera, both in terms of photo and video. We shall see.
Yeah.
And they also showed off a bunch of AI demos that take advantage of Tensor, their new custom processor. There was like super fast translation. They had Marie Kondo come on their stream and they had her translate with the Pixel.
It's cheating. She's just like, throw away your stuff.
I mean, it,
you know, I know what she said.
I don't even know where to go with it. It was a very strange moment. So I was like, what is happening?
She's like, have less stuff. And I was like, no, buy this phone. It was like, ah.
They spent a remarkably long time talking about how their camera is more equitable and how it does a better job with darker skin tones, that they brought in panels of photographic experts to help them tune their ML models so that the camera would do a better job with darker skin tones. So that's very interesting. They maybe spent more time on that than talking about, you know, the telephoto lens or, you know, the precise specs of the camera itself.
So, or even the custom processor.
Well, they spent quite a lot on custom processor, but yeah. So that's interesting. And then, I mean, I don't know. It was an hour long. It felt like the opposite of the MacBook event in terms of pacing. It was very, very slow. I wasn't really sure who they were talking to because on the one hand, it's like if you're trying to go mass market here, you shouldn't be leading with like super chip stuff. But if you're trying to get the nerds, you need to have gone a little bit deeper on speeds and feeds than you did.
So I thought the camera stuff was good in that going all in on telephoto lenses and whatever, like, everyone does that now.
Yep.
Saying we care a lot about the quality of the pictures we take and making people look good and the people being diverse. Like,
yeah.
That was where Google won with the Pixel to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They had a look. They were thinking about artists and paintings. They're good at achieving that look programmatically. If they can pull it off.
Yeah. And to be clear, it seemed very sincere. I'm not saying that, oh, they say this, do this thing and, you know, it's just, you know, lip service or whatever. It seems like they actually put a ton of effort into it.
And we are constantly, this joke, like, what is a photo? These like existential questions that we ask on the show all started with Google's photo technology.
Yep.
In their very opinionated decisions about what a photo is and how it should look.
Yeah.
So if they can do that again and pull that off with this camera, that mm-hmm. that will be a step forward.
Yeah. One interesting thing about the main sensor, it's huge. That's why the camera bar is huge. It is a 50 megapixel sensor, but they're binning it. I think the phrase that the guy uses like analog. So they're binning it at the sensor. They're not binning it in software later.
Okay.
So you can only get a 12.5 megapixel photo out of this 50 megapixel sensor. And so I was like, why didn't you just use a 12 megapixel sensor? And like, oh, you know, we wanted to find the best sensor we could to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it like, it came pretty clear that like there wasn't a good 12 megapixel sensor they could get. The best they could get was probably this 50. And then, you know, they're bidding it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Is it because Apple bought all the 12?
I mean, that's historically what happens. Yeah. And then the last thing, well, there's a bunch of other things, but the last thing I think we really ought to talk about is they brought on Evan Spiegel from Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Tap to Snap.
Tap to Snap.
All the youngins tapping to snapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the story, you can double tap pixels to do something, to launch something. And they've given Snap special access to when you double tap, even if your phone is still locked, it can bring up the Snap camera, even with your phone locked.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you can still, you know, snap your Snap. You can tap to snap your Snap. And then you can unlock it and go in and do whatever. So that seems cool. It's also cool that they are doing a better job giving Snap access to, like, the good parts of the Google camera and its system, because quite often on Android, third-party camera apps are not getting access to the good stuff, and they're often crap.
This was a very deep, you could tell it was a deep deal, because like Evan was the one announcing it,
yep.
And Snap has done these camera integrations. Like, I don't know if you guys have looked at like the Samsung phones, but Snap's just like in there, like the lenses are like in the native camera,
yeah.
And like the Bitmojis are in the keyboard, like the pre-installed keyboard. And so they're doing this platform play that is honestly pretty unique. Like, no one else is doing this right now. And like Evan Spiegel gave a stat that they have about 300-ish million daily users, but they reach 500 million people. And that's like that difference is all these integrations that they're doing with like all these different OEMs. And like, so it's an interesting strategy because they're not getting any money from this. Like, it's not like they're making money by people using their lenses in the Pixel, but it does kind of...
Are they like... branded? Like, I think are you always going to know that that's the Snap?
Yeah, I mean, and it kicks you into the app quickly and all that. So like they get that, but I think it's more just they're a camera, like we were saying earlier, they're a camera company. And so they're taking opportunities with everyone except Apple, obviously, because Apple won't let them do that. But
yeah,
never say never. But like, you know, they're taking these opportunities to integrate at the phone level, which is, you know, Facebook wanted to do that for a while. They even did that HTC phone, you know, like every social company has thought about this or wanted to do it. And I think Snap's finding a really unique way in. And Google needs their AR software stuff, I think, to differentiate, because Google's AR stuff is kind of a mess.
Yeah. And doing it at the camera level is really interesting, because like Facebook tried to do like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just, even then it was.
I loved that phone. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there. HTC first.
It was a good phone.
It had its charm.
Yeah.
With the chat bubbles and all that.
Spelled chat heads.
Yeah.
Which I always read it as Chathedes.
That's the new name.
Chathedes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Chatheads. That's pretty good.
Wait, don't they own Cha Cha? Because that was the phone with the keyboard.
Yes.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh God.
The Cha Cha.
Yeah. The problem with celebrating your 10-year anniversary is that you keep thinking about things that have happened the past 10 years. Like, I have been useless. Like, we've hired so many people. Like, how are you? I'm like, 5 years ago.
You're like, sound did not exist until.
Yeah. So what's going to happen at the 10-year party is Neil's going to get on stage. He's about to, going to be introducing the whole thing. He's going to start talking and he'll hear me from the, you know, the back of the stage. And I'm going to whisper just so he can hear me and nobody else. I'm just going to say, Cyborg. And he's going to die. He'll just fall over.
It's going to be a real problem.
So that's a Pixel. We're going to review it.
So we talked about this. We have them.
Mm-hmm.
We are not allowed to talk about the software yet.
Or the camera results.
Or the camera. But we have held them.
Mm.
I said this. We did a little pickup after the Rick and Sundar interview. That interview was great. Enjoyed hearing from them. They're all in on this is it.
Yeah. Right?
They did that story with us, with you.
Mm-hmm.
They did that story with the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're telling their investor audience, this is it. Our hardware division is going to do it for real. We're competitive with Samsung.
This is every year.
No, but this is meaningful
real.
Step
they definitely were sandbagging the last couple of years.
Really? Yeah. I feel like I've heard this narrative
before. They spent however many billion dollars on HTC.
Sure.
This is the first flagship phone from that team. That's what they told us last year, right? The cheaper ones were the HTC team, but they hadn't made the – this is it. I'm just telling you, go and hold the Pro, especially the white ones,
yeah.
And you will be like, ugh. The black one, not so much.
Yeah,
you want to talk about what is it? One. Is it notches? I mean,
the feel like why?
It's just it feels like a first gen flagship product. It feels like a OnePlus like 6. You know what I mean? Like it's nice.
Like an early Samsung phone with a touch screen.
Yeah, bump on the back,
and it does have the ledge, big old bump. The bar, the
yeah. I mean, like shelf. I get they need it to look different.
It's like a King Cack bar.
The regular one. Yep, it's.
Are they doing
fine.
Any deals like with Verizon and AT&T and stuff?
They do have some deals. They're better than I expected. They also have some shenanigan type deals on their own websites when they ran.
Aww.
The website super crashed right after the event.
Right, because the Pixel store team was like, well, 8 people are coming.
Yeah. I will tell you that
Neil is one of them.
I've waffled between the Pro and the regular, and this is not any of the review stuff. It's just like size-wise and just feel-wise. Mm. And so I plugged in both like buying the Pixel 6 Pro from the Google Store and buying the regular Pixel 6. I was like, yeah, I'll trade in my Pixel 5. If you go to buy a Pixel 6 Pro with a perfectly good Pixel 5, they'll give you $405 for a Pixel 5. Is wild. If you go to buy the regular Pixel 6, they'll give you $366. They'll give you different amounts of money. So there's definitely shenanigans happening with trade-ins everywhere. It's just the way that phones work now.
Yeah. I'm not judging too harshly. I'm just saying my first reaction, and it has remained my reaction, to the Pro in particular, especially the white ones,
is ugh. That's the review headline.
But yeah, but we have, there's now we're here all together.
Yeah.
Yep. We have a bunch of units. I've seen a black Pro, much nicer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them.
Well,
I gotta go after this. I'm so excited.
We'll set up the gauntlet. Yes.
Did you all see Lauren Good's tweet that the only thing keeping her from switching from iPhone is iMessage?
Oh yeah, I mean Lauren has been on many episodes of this show where she's like, "So iMessage got me again."
Yeah, yeah. She wrote a whole article about it that I believe was cited in one of the internal Apple emails.
I'm trying to get Dieter to talk about RCS. That's the,
not
that's the goal.
Not gonna do it.
This show's not long enough.
Oh my god. anything else you want to talk about with the Pixel?
No, I mean, we're at the point now where we have a lot of reviews to do.
Yeah.
We would like to hear from you. Mm-hmm. We're also at the point now where we have to go prepare for this party that we're throwing.
Yeah. So there was a third tech event, by the way. Samsung announced
there was not
customize.
A third tech event.
It was not a real
event. There was Google loudly saying, we are going to attempt to take phone market share. And there was Samsung saying, hold up. The only place to take it from is us, because Apple has everyone in the prison of iMessage, and they announced what colors for the flips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can customize the top and the bottom and the hinge.
Ooh. It was the most remember us event that has ever occurred.
Yep.
I wish they'd just like said that.
Yeah.
Just been like, hey, we're just going to go over all of our stuff again.
We're making your chips for you, Google. Watch your back.
Slow zoom in.
No, Samsung also had an event.
They did, technically.
I think our event is going to produce more news than the Samsung. I'm like actually pretty confident about that.
Same.
Speaking of our event, it is happening. By the way, if you've been listening to the show for 10 years, like, thank you. That's remarkable. I'm not going to do the whole thing. We're actually turning 10 in November. That's what I'm going to tear up on the show.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
And this is just like a preview.
Yeah.
But we're having our event. There will be news. Nick Weaver from Eero will be there. Razer has promised to show off some products. If you look at our website, you'll be able to guess what products they are because they actually announced them. You're interviewing some folks from Snap.
Yeah, they're SVP of content and partnerships. So that's everything that's not the chat part of Snap. So we're going to talk about creator economy, maybe some crypto, maybe a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. Liz is doing a metaverse panel.
Oh my God.
It's true. Meta Coven will be there. It's a real thing.
Wow.
I'll be at the bar.
During the panel.
She'll be at the bar.
That's where the news is going to get made.
Alex will be like, I heard here's the original NFT. It's got gin in it. Dieter's premiering his Handspring documentary.
It's true, I am.
Very excited.
It's going to be great. And then the first thing that we're doing, the kickoff, true, like pure fan service, Joanna Stern and David Pierce. Verge OGs are going to do a Vergecast with us, and we have some ideas. It's going to be good. And then I don't know if this will get out. Our other executive editor, TC Sadek, has brought in a memory expert.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's like a memory world champion. She has memorized a list of 100 tech products from the past 10 years, and Dieter and I have to compete with her in like a flashcard game.
We're going to lose.
We're definitely going to lose.
Great.
Like, So we'll see.
Yeah.
So a lot happening in our event. It's going to be really fun. If you can make it, we're very excited to see you there. If not, we'll make some news. We'll share some stuff from the event. The Vergecast will definitely go out. But for now, we have gone far over, like way over.
Yeah.
So it's time
it's
to
keeping you
thing.
Company as you drive to New York City to come to the party.
Yeah. Also, we're definitely just going to like miss some deadlines over the next few days. So just bear with us.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to be complicated. Anyway, we have gone way over. It was delightful to see all of you in person and do this in person again. I've missed it very much. You can tweet at us. I'm Reckless Dieters at Backlon. Couple of Alexes here. Alex E. Heath, Alex H. Kranz.
Yeah, high five.
Knew it. Pulled it off.
Yes.
Got it.
That's it. Rock and roll.
Thanks to Canva for their support. Canva wants to make your presentations come as easy as those thoughts that pass through your head. And thanks to their AI, you can start with a simple prompt and watch Canva go to work. Choose your favorite style, customize the content, and you're done. It's a serious time saver. Whatever you do for work, Canva presentations can give you a head start on your deck. You can generate sales presentations, marketing decks, HR onboarding plans, you name it. Finish your deck faster. Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.